County cricket, international cricket, test cricket, franchise cricket, red ball, white ball, 100-ball cricket. At The Cricketer, we care about the cricket you love. And that's why we've launched a brand new app built for fans of the English game. Download The Cricketer app and sign up to our Access All Areas Pass to receive agenda-setting journalism and illuminating storytelling straight to your phone. The latest news from the England camps, a dedicated daily service for fans of the 18 first-class counties, and committed coverage of women's cricket. Download the app today and enjoy 1 month of free unlimited access. The Cricketer. We care about the cricket you love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Crickets. I'm your host, Aaron, aka The Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left for today's special episode of TCCP is none other than founder of In-Depth Football and Cricket and regular member of the Murray End podcast, Mr. Harrison Burridge. So Harrison, first things first, mate, thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast today. It's an absolute pleasure to get you on for a chat about all things county cricket. I have to ask, mate, how's your day been so far?
Been all right. It's a bit busy with a few things, but just settled down now for the afternoon. Can't wait to get to talk about cricket, really.
Absolutely. It's the best sport on the planet, isn't it, Harrison? To be honest, I could talk about it for days on end. I really couldn't. As of this recording, there's just 10 days to go until the start of the 2022 Liverpool Victoria County Championship. And it's got the makings of a very, very fascinating season indeed. And actually, listeners, that is exactly what we are here to discuss today. The start of the 2022 County Championship. So in terms of this preview, we've gone for a slightly different approach in 2022 because there are now 10 teams in Division 1. We've split the shows into two. So in this one, part one, we'll be discussing the likes of Essex, Gloucestershire, Hampshire, Kent and Lancashire. And in part two, which will be with former Warwickshire analyst James Thompson, we'll be touching upon the likes of Somerset, Surrey, Northants, Warwickshire and Yorkshire. So Harrison, without further ado then, let's get in to today's preview show. And what better place to start than with the champions of the 2020 Bob Willis Trophy, as well as the county champions in 2017 and 2019, Essex County Cricket Club. Now, 2021 was admittedly a bit of a mixed bag for the East Anglian County. Yes, they won Division 2, but at the same time, given all of that star power and calibre and quality in that squad, they should have been challenging for the Division 1 title. Of course, a very, very stacked Group 1 with the likes of Warwickshire and Notts and Durham alongside them. But I do think Essex will be slightly disappointed with their performances in Red Bull cricket in 2021. With that being said, though, the county have made some excellent transfers heading into this year's county championship, with the big one, one of the signings of the summer, in my opinion, Matt Critchley from Derbyshire, a man who scored exactly 1,000 runs for the East Midlands County in 2021 and also took 30 wickets with his leg spin. He is going to be a serious, serious signing, isn't he, Harrison?
Absolutely. As you said, 1,000 runs last season, which only a few did in the end after strong starts for several. It's an asset for any side to have. And you combine that with his leg spin and you see the success that like Simon Harmer has at Chelmsford, in particular on pitches that take spin. And he gives Essex that extra bowling option to complement the seam attack further and also soften the blow if Dan Lawrence is away with England. You've got another batsman in the middle order. It's not just before, maybe like you're always looking at Alistair Cook for runs, but now there's extra and it just strengthens them even further and probably strengthens their hopes of winning yet another Red Bull title after the poor year you mentioned last year.
It most certainly does. And again, with Critchley, we're not here to discuss the other formats as well, but for the T20s, he is going to be a serious, serious prospect to handle indeed for any South Group opposition. But aside from Matt Critchley, an overseas signing, a very interesting one, Mark Steckerty from Australia. I didn't expect to see him in county cricket, but he has had an excellent Sheffield Shield in 2021-22. So I can see why Essex have brought him in. And then they've also brought in the likes of Jamal Richards and Ishan Calliope from the academy. So those are the transfers into Essex in 2021. In terms of outgoings, two massive ones. First and foremost, Ryan Tendershkarta, a legend, a titan of Essex County Cricket Club. He's unfortunately retired. and seamer Matt Quinn has moved to Kent after going there on loan last season. So Harrison, heading into this year, I imagine that Essex will come back strong. You look at that squad, they've got the likes of Tom Wesley and Sir Alistair Cook, Dan Lawrence, Critchley, Harmer, Porter, Cook. The list goes on and on and on. Do you think they will be strong contenders for this summer's title? And how do you assess the strengths and weaknesses of this Essex outfit heading into this year's county championship?
Well, first of all, no one at the county would have liked last season's effort. Whilst the group one was tough to get out of, as you mentioned, with Warwickshire, Nottinghamshire and some others, they would have still expected to get out of there, whether that be first or second, and in a place to challenge for the overall title in September time. But going forward now, they won't want to do that again or have another poor season. They want to bounce back. And I think that's probably what makes them a fearful side for the rest. They want revenge as such. And any side like that, if I give it a football analogy, whenever Man City lose a game, you always fear for the team they have to play next, because they tend to beat them 4-5-0. And in this situation, with the quality they have running throughout, what if you strength for their pace attack with Cook, Porter and Beard and others who can all contribute in some way. And as you said, with Stekates, who I thought was a bit of a, when they were talking about him in the Ashes, potentially being an option when the Australian bowlers went down with injuries, I thought, that's a bit of an odd one. Only seen him in the Big Bash before. But as you say, he's been good in the Sheffield Shield and now he's got that opportunity. So yeah, I'll see with Mark Stekates, that point of difference in the side with the height that's different away from your Sam Cooks and Jamie Porter's that are just your right arm seamers about 6 foot or so. So that will be an asset to have and maybe give Essex an edge on pitches that don't offer your standard seam and swing movement. He'd be able to get you bounce and maybe allow them to deploy different sort of tactics. But then moving back to the batting, which I mentioned earlier, that is potentially a little weakness in the side with the reliance on the likes of Cook, Lawrence. Now they've got Critchley along with Wesley, so that, you've got a strong four there. But if Lawrence, as you expect, will probably be in the England squad for that New Zealand series, barring any disasters. And then away from that, Adam Wheater is a good wicketkeeper option in the side, but Nick Brown struggles at the top of the order. He got 100 last season, but away from that, he was pretty poor. And I know a few Essex fans who are a bit frustrated with him still keeping his place as such and not looking to improve that aspect. But in general, that's just from the weakness in the batting. It's a bit of nitpicking, to be honest, with this side. They are very strong. And it's hard to look past them winning it, but there's several other sides I could say that for in this year's competition.
Well, that right there is the problem, isn't it? Division yeah. One really is so stacked to the rafters with talent that it's going to be incredibly, incredibly tough to judge and call exactly who's going to emerge victorious come the end of September. But I love the analogy there with Man City. And as an Arsenal fan, trust me, I know that analogy. I've seen it play out firsthand. As soon as a team like this, which has that winning pedigree, which has that tradition of winning and knows exactly how to win these big trophies, when they do have a poor patch, they come back very strong. And when you look at this Essex side, although they no longer have the likes of Ryan Tendish-Garter, the nucleus of that successful side of 2019 and 2020 is very much retained heading into 2022. You mentioned there about the batting, and I'm glad you mentioned that as a potential weakness, because I look at the backup options. When you mention the likes of Wesley and Lawrence and Cook and all the experienced players, they're fantastic. But I think when it comes to the backup options, Essex have got a lot of inexperienced players. They're talented. But like with any sport, experience cannot be bought and it takes time. So when you have a look at the likes of Luke Benkenstein, he made his debut last summer, for example. Feroz Kushi made his in 2020. Robin Dash, Josh Rommel, Michael Pepper. They've got all these fantastic young options, but they are inexperienced. And that could prove to be a little bit of an Achilles heel should those options be needed in 2022. I think later down the line, though, Essex is going to be absolutely sorted with some of those players, and Jamal Richards as well. Watch out for him from the academy. Very, very talented all-rounder indeed. But aside from strengths and weaknesses then, Harrison, players to watch out for, who do you think that the Essex fans should be keeping a close eye on heading into this year's championship? Who do you think will be the real difference maker for the East Anglian outfit?
There's obviously the established members. first thought was Sam Cook, because there's a chance if he has another good season, he could push England credentials further. But I'm going to go back to Mark Steckerty and the whole point of difference thing. I think that's just, he's probably going to be rather unknown to the majority of Essex fans. Obviously, with not really any, I don't think any international recognition, or we may have played one white ball game here or there. But away from that, he's a relatively unknown for most counties. As I said earlier, the point of difference with the height and the potential bounce he could generate. So I think, especially in the midsummer, there's more games in midsummer now. You'd expect those pitches to be more batting friendly. He can be a great asset to have on them, especially if others, like bowlers, are injured or they need resting to avoid injury. So I'm going to go with Mark Steckerty. I think he's just well-rounded. He could be the thing, the movement behind Essex getting back to winning ways.
Good choice. I respect that, to be honest. And again, it'll be interesting to see how he does adapt to English conditions. He is very much a more of a hit-the-deck bowler as opposed to a swing bowler, Mark Steckerty, on those Aussie wickets. But again, a more than capable seam bowler, to say the least. So good shout there, Harrison, I must admit. So we'll go Mark Steckerty as the player to watch out for, mostly as a result of that potential unknown factor for the Essex fans. But moving from the east of the country then, Harrison, let's move to the west, and in particular the southwest. Let's go to Gloucestershire, a county which, to be honest, made some great steps forward in 2021. In fact, in the group stages, they won more games than any other county across all of the three groups. They've got a very, very interesting squad heading into this summer's championship, and that really is shown with some of their transfers. They brought in Marcus Harris, who was fantastic for Leicestershire last summer. They brought back Zafar Gahar, which I'm a big fan of. He was excellent towards the last stages of the season. Nassim Shah, we talk about different factors, and we talk about an X factor on these county pitches. Nassim Shah with the extra pace will do exactly that. They brought in AJ Dale as well from Hampshire, who, Harrison, again, you may be able to give us a bit more insight into as a Hampshire fan, but a good young seam bowler. And then Paul Van Meekeren has moved from the northeast in Durham to Gloucestershire in the southwest. Then in terms of outgoings, it's been quite quiet in that regard for Gloucestershire. Basically, just George and Harry Hankins have left the club heading into this year, along with Dan Worrell, who's made the move to Surrey. So Harrison, Gloucestershire, again, we speak about how impressive they are as an outfit, but this club has not yet won the county championship. Do you think 2022 could be the year that that finally changes under the guidance of Dale Benkenstein as the coach, Graham Van Buren as the new captain? Do you think that combination can lead the glorious Gloucesters to victory in the 2022 County Championship?
Well, as I said earlier, there's a lot of teams you feel could be in the running for the title, and I'd probably put Gloucestershire as one of them. They did a job on Hampshire last week, albeit it was the first warm-up game of the summer, but they looked impressive. The bowlers were very good in particular. I think Goodman and Higgins, they starred in particular against Hampshire the other week. But as you said, the overseas signings is what I think makes this team. Last season, they had a strong county core, and they were only pipped on the last day to the, well, I think it was the second last day of the game against Hampshire for qualification into Division One for September. So with, as you say, Nassim Shah, he is the definition of X factor. You don't get any more than that. We've seen him against Australia most recently. Reverse swing probably won't be a thing in England for obvious reasons, but with just normal swing and the sheer pace he has, will scare most, not scare, but put fright or such into most county batsmen. And if he can get it all under control and working, he could be a serious asset for Gloucestershire in the time he's here. As could Marcus Harris. Yeah, good season with Leicestershire last year. Got rid of a few of his doubters that thought he struggled in England a bit after the 2019 Ashes, and just excelled for Leicestershire and helped them in their road to becoming a better county and growing. So I think, as you say, it's definitely an exciting one. There's James Bracey, who played for England last year. They haven't had an England player for a while. And with Chris Dent stepping down, maybe so he can now focus back on his batting and reach levels we've seen in previous years. It's an exciting prospect, and it very well could be the dark horse and go under the radar for a bit.
It's funny you mention those two words, dark horse. That's exactly how I would describe Gloucestershire heading into this year's county championship. You mentioned there James Bracey. He's looked very good in the pre-season warm-ups as well. Absolutely delighted for him, because he did struggle for England. And again, the stats and the figures will show exactly that against New Zealand. But this is an excellent, excellent cricketer. James Bracey's got a great attitude, good solid technique, also good with the gloves as well. And you don't get called up to the England squad for no reason. And in fact, he was the first Gloucestershire player since John Lewis in 2007 to get that call up. So James Bracey, watch out for him. I do think he's going to come back strong. And he did have a good summer last year. 715 runs at 37.63. Yes, the average could have been better, but he was Gloucestershire's leading run scorer. So Bracey, absolutely. I think he'll be back strong in 2022. And Harrison, in terms of the side itself, if we were to assess them from a strengths and weaknesses perspective, where do you think are the real key areas of strength in this Gloucestershire outfit? And what are the perceived vulnerabilities and weak points of this side heading into this year's championship?
An obvious strength is the seam bowling department. As I mentioned before, you've got Ryan Higgins and obviously Nassim Shah, along with David Payne, who also really got into an England squad last summer in the white ball but didn't feature. But he's made big strides in red ball and white ball cricket itself over the last few years and become a real asset to the side. That's the strength that really stands out for me. If we're going to look at a weakness as such, I don't know really, to be honest. Maybe the batting is a bit of an unknown, few unknowns, few inexperienced players at the highest level of the domestic game. They look not picking anyone as such, but Tom Lace looked a bit out of position as such last summer against some of the better attacks and struggled a bit, but has shown form. I think he got 94, unbeaten 94 against Somerset the other day. So hopefully that's a start, something new for him and Gloucestershire. Your standard county side as such. There's so many county pros in there, players that you know on their day or can consistently turn up and give you a performance. So if that happens consistently, as I said before, you don't know what could happen, but maybe depth of seam bowling, if we're being picky against the top quality bowlers. And then Zafar Gahar provides the spinner if there's room for him, obviously, with Harris and Shah in the side already as overseas.
Well, I think with Zafar, I think he's more of the late-term plan, isn't he? Heading into August and September. Late season. But he was excellent. He really was a fantastic addition to a very strong Gloucestershire side in 2021. I would agree with the strengths. Obviously, that seam attack is outstanding. Ryan Higgins, who, by the way, has been Gloucestershire's leading first-class wicket taker for three summers in a row, 2019, 2020 and 2021, he has been top of the standings for the club. Really underrated seamer, deserves a lot more recognition. That's why you mentioned him here on the podcast. But he's a great, great option, as is David Payne, as is Josh Short. Again, someone to watch out for in this year's competition. In terms of weaknesses, I would agree in terms of the middle order. And the reason I bring this up is because last year they tried out the likes of Ian Cobain. He came back into the side. They tried Tom Lace. They tried George Hankins, George Scott, Graham Van Buren, Ryan Higgins, Jack Taylor. They tried all these different options and didn't quite find the right combination. So I think for Gloucestershire this summer, a real, real key focal point will be a stable middle order. Now, granted, in 2021, part of that was because of Graham Van Buren's visa issues. But now that they are all resolved, he is the skipper of the side. Fingers crossed, Gloucestershire fans, that there is a bit more stability in that middle order. Because if there is, with that strong top order trio, the likes of Bracey, Dent and Marcus Harris, alongside that excellent bowling attack, they do look like a good side. I must admit that I'm looking forward to watching the glorious Gloucesters in action in this summer's county championship. And Harrison, I'll actually choose the player to watch out for, if you don't mind, when it comes to Gloucestershire, because I've alluded to him already. I would go with Ryan Higgins. And in fact, I've got his exact stats. In 2019, he took 50 wickets at 23.64. In 2020, obviously a shortened season, but 17 wickets at 23.00. And last summer, 51 wickets at 22.41. So that average has now improved year in, year out for the past three seasons as well. I think he is going to be a real difference maker, and he also provides some very valuable and vital middle order runs. Would you agree with that assessment, Harrison, or is there someone else catching your eye for Gloucestershire in this year's tournament?
There's several, as we spoke before, because they're not some of the most well-known in the county surface. You could pick anyone's surface. Higgins is a very good call. If I had a choice, I would have gone for Van Buren. Obviously, as you mentioned before, visa issues last year kind of shortened his season and involvement. But he made a fantastic century against Surrey in a fourth innings chase, which banged it three, I think it was. So if he can replicate that, and as well as being leading on the field with the captain and with the ball, could have a very well-rounded season.
Absolutely.
But Higgins is definitely a smart choice.
To be honest, with Gloucestershire and with a lot of these sides, you can't really go wrong. Like, for all of the shortcomings of the English Test side over the winter, English county cricket still got some serious players. And again, there's plenty that we can choose from heading into this year's tournament. But moving from the southwest then, Harrison, why don't we move to the south coast? And we'll go with your county of Hampshire, a side which staggeringly has not lifted a county championship since 1973. I've always thought that was an incredible stat. It's been quite the drought for a club of that magnitude and size, but 2022 has the makings again of a very, very strong title contention. In terms of the transfers, Nick Gubbins from Middlesex, great piece of business. And Ben Brown, what a coup that is to get one of the most consistent and reliable wicketkeepers in the entire county circuit. Slot him into that side with a seam attack consisting of the likes of Carl Abbott, Brad Wheel, Mohammed Abbas, Keith Barker, Ian Holland. What a signing he is, Harrison. What was your immediate reaction to that news, by the way?
I just couldn't believe it, to be honest, because it's different to football transfers where you can hear rumours before and you kind of get an idea. But with cricket, it just comes out of the blue. And I saw that tweet and I was like, whoa, that's really impressive. Because if I'm being picky, maybe that was just a week. Wicketkeeper was a weak point of the side last season, albeit we were one ball away from winning the county championship in the end against Lancashire in that final game. But that was a weak point. Now, it's looking like it's sold, fingers crossed.
Most certainly does. Ben Brown, you don't get many better professionals than that in county cricket, let me just tell you. But in terms of outgoings, quite a busy off-season for Hampshire, it has to be said. Sam Northeast leaving the club to go to pastures anew in Glamorgan. We've mentioned Ajit Dale, he's gone to Gloss. Tom Scriven has gone to Leicestershire. Tom Allsop has gone on a season-long loan to Sussex. Literally today, as we record, Lewis McManus has also gone on loan to Northants on a four-week loan. That's an initial stint that could be extended at some point. We're yet to find out that information just yet. And then Ryan Stevenson and Brad Taylor have been released from their contracts. So a busy off-season, a busy winter down on the south coast, but my goodness, does this Hampshire side look very, very strong heading into this year's championship? And Harrison, strengths and weaknesses, where do they lie with this Hampshire outfit? And how strong is their contention going to be heading into this year's county championship?
You've listed them already, but it's the pace attack is just the main strength. And it's just so good on paper. And when we saw it in action last year, it was just a joy to watch at times. I mean, Abbas took a hat-trick against Middlesex in a space, well, he took a hat-trick and then a five in the space of a few balls. That was ridiculous. Keith Barker took a 7-4 against Notts in the late latter stage of the season after we'd been bowled out for 150. Wheel contributed throughout the season, Abbott as well. It's just so strong. And for any county side to have that, that's, and sometimes for some test teams, they would take that as a test attack and you wouldn't see it as out of place, especially with Dawson or Crane as your spinner as well. It really is fantastic. Another strength is the captaincy and the batting of James Vince. Last season was the real highlight. The batting was poor throughout, especially in the second stage. He made a 15 or not score of above 14 every second innings, I think, of the latter stages, which were pivotal in getting Hampshire to totals that were defendable or get them past a chase. So he's another one. As I mentioned there, if I'm going to talk about a weakness, it was the batting last season away from Vince. He made up 80 against Gloucestershire, I think, at Cheltenham, but away from that was poor. Hollands and Allsop both made tons early season, but then faded away. We had Northeast had for a bit, but then before he left, he struggled. And the others, no one found runs as such. Gubbins initially made 150 in his first couple of innings, but away from that, he then dropped off again. So that's somewhere I'm hoping that Ben Brown helps shore up this season. shore that middle to lower order up and help give them the extra runs that these, if they, you give these bowlers enough runs, they will do the job for you. In terms of aspirations, which you also mentioned, obviously I think we can win it, but as any fan will. But as I said before, there are so many good sides that it will come down to, can you win those critical moments and come out on top in them? There's the chances will, and the fact we haven't won it for so long will make these players want to win it even more, and the fans as well.
It most certainly will, Harrison. And I'll tell you what, 2022 could be the year that that drought does officially come to an end. You mentioned that seam attack. Last summer, 232 wickets between Hampshire's bowlers. Absolutely staggering numbers. When you compare that to Surrey, for example, Surrey, good bowling attack on paper, they took 164 as an entire unit. So that just goes to show the calibre and strength of that unit. Abbott took 46 wickets. Abbas took 41. Keith Barker, what a legend Keith is. Love him here at the podcast. He also took 41 wickets as well. And then you've got the breakthrough specialist of Brad Wheel. You've got Mason Crane and Liam Dawson, and the options are just tantalising for Hampshire heading into this year's tournament. But then on the flip side, I would agree about the batting. And I've been doing some digging, as we usually do here on the podcast, to get some big stats for these preview shows. And in 2021, Hampshire were bowled out for less than 200 runs on 8 occasions, 3 of which they were bowled out for less than 100 runs. Now, over the course of the season, they completed 21 innings. So that's where all 10 wickets fell. So to have been bowled out for less than 200 on 8 of them, it doesn't make for pretty reading. But as you mentioned there, Harrison, Ben Brown, what a signing. And of course, the hero from the Under-19 World Cup as well, Tom Prest. He's going to be an interesting one to watch, isn't he?
Definitely. And we've seen what he can do in the ODI format. And I think he may have scored a fair few runs to the second team last summer as well. I'm not sure how much they feature. He's not in the 13-man squad for the friendly we started today, as we're recording against Loughborough University. And that doesn't include Abbas, that squad. So that's technically 14. So I think we might not see a lot of him in the Red Bull. If batters get in poor form or injuries happen, he may come in. But he may mainly probably feature in the Blast and One Day Cup in this year as he'll continue his development. Maybe a spot comes up next year for him in this Red Bull side.
Absolutely. We will be keeping a close eye on Tom, though, because he's a very, very talented cricketer indeed, as is a certain Fletcher Middleton. From what I've seen of Fletcher, he looks like quite the powerful hitter as well in white ball cricket, so we'll have to wait and see how those two continue to develop. But Harrison, in terms of players to watch, there's quite an obvious one from Hampshire, isn't there? Given the whole England discussion at the moment, a certain James Vince, Hampshire's leading run scorer last year with 816 runs at 40.8. Would you say it's Vincey, or is there someone else who's taking your fancy for this year's tournament?
If I'm putting my England cap on, it would be Vince, because who knows what could happen with selection heading into the summer. If anyone scores a fair few runs, you don't know what could happen. But I'm not going to go for the obvious one. I'm torn between two here. Felix Organ impressed last week in a friendly and is all-rounder, but with a bit of off-spin and bat. He has opened the batting before, but he tends to find himself lower down in the order now. He's a genuine all-rounder that could help to balance the side, or if Dawson's injured, provide that option. And then also Anuwan Donald, a couple of years out with injury. We don't know. I don't think he's played a bit in the friendly so far. I don't know what he's going to be like, but he's just generally probably happy to see him back, as all fans, obviously Glamorgan, his previous county as well, just want to see him play cricket and enjoy again after such a long period off. And he could find himself opening the batting if the current openers struggle again. But those are my two. Vince is the obvious one.
Yeah, Vince is the more cliche one, but I'll tell you what, I really like the choice of an Anuwan Donald, someone who we've had on the podcast. He did detail that journey back to recovery from those two ACL tears, but I remember him in 2019 at the Rose Bowl. He absolutely destroyed our bowling attack in the Warwickshire game, scored 173. So if an Anuwan can find that kind of form, and let's not forget he also has a double century in first-class cricket for Glamorgan, yeah, he'll be a serious player to watch out for heading into the 2022 LV County Championship. But Harrison, moving then from the South Coast, let's go to the South East. Let's move across to Kent, who had an absolute shocker of a county championship campaign in 2021, eventually went down to Division 3, won the division, but I don't think that necessarily reflects where Kent are with their Red Bull cricket whatsoever. And heading into this year's championship, the moves that they've made in terms of transfers are quite spectacular. Matt Henry, the New Zealand seam bowler, he's in for the last 7 games of the season. He's come back to the club for the first time since 2018. They brought in South African all-rounder George Linder. They brought in Australian seamer Jackson Bird for the first 6 games. They brought back Matt Quinn from Essex. And Ben Compton is a really interesting signing, a sturdy, stable top-order batter from Nottinghamshire. Harrison, how do you assess Kent in this year's county championship in terms of those transfers? First and foremost, before we discuss strengths and weaknesses, how impressed have you been with the business from the southeastern county during the winter?
Very impressed, because after the season you said they had last season, they will not, much like Essex, not want to repeat it again. And the ambition there from the management set up to go out and get some of the best foreign prospects in cricket, especially George Linder. I like him a lot. He's fantastic. I picked him out before that white ball series against England back at, I can't remember when this was, I think it was late 2020 or maybe 2019. And he took the wicket of Jason Roy in the first or second over, and just like, wow, okay. And he's continued to make his name, albeit not, didn't get picked for the World Cup in the end, which was a bit of a shame. But away from that, Henry, he's there for the back end of the season. That could be pivotal if they're in with the hunt. He's a fantastic bowler. We've seen him most recently against, it might have been Bangladesh or the other side. New Zealand played recently. He took 6 or 7 in no time. He played well against England last summer as well at Edgbaston when he got a chance. So in general, and Jackson Bird, he's a weird one, really. We can do it, but he's maybe struggled a bit on the international scene, and from certain people, it's been called rubbish. But in general, it's a very exciting work done so far from Kent, and they will be definitely wanting to make strides going forward.
They will indeed, Harrison. They will indeed. And I just look at this team, and in particular that seam attack, and we keep on mentioning this in county cricket because there's so many incredible seam units heading into both divisions in 2022. But on paper, you got Darren Stevens, the GOAT, who should be playing for England. Hashtag Stevo for England. Let's get that trending on Twitter. Then you got Matt Henry, Matt Milnes, great, great bowler, very underrated in my view. Harry Podmore, Jackson Bird, Matt Quinn, Nathan Gilchrist, who they initially got from Somerset. He came on leaps and bounds in 2021. And then the Italian maestro, Grant Stewart as well. They've got him in there just for good measure. So the seam attack is absolutely sorted for Kent. But the big weakness, and Harrison, I'd like to know your thoughts on this, would be the batting, wouldn't it? When you look at 2021, Kent scored a total of 15 batting points over the course of their first 10 matches and were dismissed for less than 150 runs on 5 occasions. If this crops up again and they do have another slow start, that could be a massive Achilles heel, couldn't it, later down the line?
Absolutely. They want to hit the ground running to avoid anything, any repeats of last season. And as you say, that Achilles heel, if that strikes early, especially in conditions that tend to favour bowlers in April and May, that will be a big problem. What you've got Crawley, we've seen him for England. He can do well on his day, but away from that, he tends to struggle. Denley had a bit of a poor year last year with the bat, but some runs in warm-up games already. Lenin's an interesting one, actually, in the batting line. I thought he was very good last season for the county, in all formats, but Red Bull as well. And he offers that all-round spot in the middle order to solidify. But yeah, the batting is definitely... There's Ollie Robinson as well. He's an intriguing prospect at wicketkeeper. Got an average... Only an average of 30, which is like Crawley as well, but he can build on that and hopefully build his career on that and become a regular. There's an interesting prospect in Tawanda Mwai as well. He's made his debut last summer and got 50, I think, in one of his first few games, so he could be Whether he starts, don't know, but he could be a good backup option to have for the county.
He most certainly was. And I'm so happy you mentioned Tuanda Muyeye, because we've had him here on the podcast. Great bloke, first and foremost. Absolutely delighted to have got him on the podcast. But he's a serious talent. You know, Wisden Schools Cricketer of the Year, that's a prestigious honour, which he got a couple of years back. And 2021, we just saw these glimpses. By his own admission, it wasn't the most consistent season. Obviously, he wants to use that as a platform to build up more runs heading into 2022. But the way in which he bats, there's this real sense of elegance and flair, and it's so aesthetically pleasing to watch Tuanda bat. So for that reason, Harrison, you've almost stolen the words out of my mouth, but my player to watch would be Tuanda. The key thing will be whether or not he starts, but I do think we'll see him at some point this summer. It's just a case of when and not if. You also mentioned Ollie Robinson. And Ollie's an interesting one. Great keeper, first and foremost. But he opened the batting, didn't he, last summer for Kent at times because they were struggling for batting options. Do you see him opening the batting again with the likes of Daniel Bell-Drummond and Zach Crawley returning? Of course, Crawley, we imagine, will be playing for England at some point. Do you think he'll retain that spot, or do you see him moving back into the middle order in 2022?
I'd prefer him to move back into the middle order personally. I think that suits him better. He struggled a bit at the top. The signing of Ben Compton perhaps suggests Kent realised this weakness and gone to fill it and get backup option in, as you mentioned, for Crawley and Bell-Drummond, who are likely on paper to open the batting in that first game in April. So hopefully back in the middle order, I think that's better for him in general for his game. We'll allow him to recover a bit after keeping as well, because you don't, most any keeper coming straight back out to bat after maybe keeping for maybe 150 overs is difficult and maybe affected him at times especially. But yeah, hopefully back in the middle order and seeing five there.
It's interesting, isn't it, to be fair for Kent, because they do actually have another keeping option in Jordan Cox. So there's some options to ponder. And again, Ben Compton does just throw a cat amongst those metaphorical pigeons, because he is a reliable opener. I know we've been mostly seeing him in second 11 cricket in recent years, but again, he knows how to almost play the ball sponge role at times. Got him alongside Deeb, Zach Crawley as well. Joe Denley, great batsman. You've also got Jack Leaning, who was the club's leading run scorer in 2022. Kent have got a chance, in my view, but it will be a case of that batting unit. If they come to the forefront, I think the same attack can win them the championship. If they have another poor season, you're looking towards the mid-table, possibly lower end of the table, in my view. But it'll be an interesting summer for Kent, to be honest. Of course, with the T20 Blast as well, Royal London One Day Cup, will they be vying for that? Only time will tell. But yeah, in the championship, if all things go well, I do think they could be quite dark horses heading into this summer's county championship. So Harrison, we are almost at an end for today's episode and part one of our 2022 championship preview show. But we now move on to our fifth and final county for today's show, which it pains me to say, as my co-host is Lancastrian, but I actually think these are the favourites for this summer's title. I'm, of course, talking about Lancashire County Cricket Club, a side which were desperately unlucky, to be honest, not to lift the trophy last summer. I thought they were excellent in Group 3. They were brilliant in Division 1 as well. Had that memorable victory against Hampshire up at Egberth Cricket Club in Liverpool. And on paper, this squad is so beautifully balanced, I really, really had to scrape the barrel to try and find some weaknesses, because there just don't seem to be any obvious ones. In terms of transfers, first and foremost, again, we talk about some of the signings of the summer. Phil Salt, the Bodderwoodham Bradman, as we know him here on the podcast, has come from Sussex County Cricket Club. That's an absolutely monumental signing across formats. They brought in Pakistani all-rounder Hassan Ali for the season as well. And George Bell, we spoke about Tom Preston in the under-19s earlier. George Bell, a very, very interesting and intriguing academy prospect. In terms of departures, again, relatively quiet. I think the big one, of course, is Alex Davis. He's gone to my county of Warwickshire. Then Taylor Cornell has gone to Worcestershire. And the trio of George Burrows, Ed Moulton and Oase Shah have all been released from their contracts. So Harrison, 2021, pretty good year for Lancashire, finished second, could have won, to be honest, if Warwickshire wouldn't have delivered the dramatics and the heroics on that fourth and final day against Somerset. Surely they've got to be in with another good chance in 2022.
100%. As you said before, this squad is just, first of all, so balanced on paper. And when you look deeper, as you said, there's very little holes, if any at all. And it's, as you, they got so close last year. As we said, with Hampshire, they were a ball away, but Lancashire got over the line against Hampshire. And then it was only Warwickshire's against Somerset and the final day, Edgbaston, that denied them. They were, and then, well, they were a bit blown away in the Bob Willis Trophy final the week later, but that was courteous and fantastic scene bowling from Welsh at the start of that final. But yes, I mean, they're going to have James Anderson as well for the start. He's going to be raring to go after not being picked for the West Indies tour. He said he's raring to go, well, ready to go for Lancashire and can't wait to get started. So if he does what we know he can do, then many county batting lines can be decimated in the early parts of the season.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not too looking forward to that, the prospect of Jimmy Anderson versus Warwickshire on the 5th of May at Old Trafford. But
I think we got him the week before, or Hampshire, at least.
It's going to be a struggle for our two counties, isn't it, to be honest, Harrison, against this incredibly strong Lancashire bowling attack. But the one thing which you don't do with Jimmy Anderson is get on his wrong side. You don't anger him, because what do we see? The best of Jimmy Anderson. So for Lancs fans, this is fantastic. He's probably going to take a shedload of wickets and win you some games. But for the rest of the circuit, there is that almost sense of fear and almost, you know what's coming. There is that sense of realisation that Jimmy's going to be here. He's got a point to prove, which you never want to hear with Jimmy Anderson. And he will be back in scintillating form in absolutely no time whatsoever. But in terms of this side, the batting with the likes of Saltz, Keaton Jennings, Luke Wells, Dane Villas, Livingston, Croft, that's an amazing, amazing batting order. We mentioned the seam options, the likes of Jimmy, the likes of Hassan Ali, the likes of Tom Bailey, Saqib Mahmood as well, Danny Lamb, a very underrated all-rounder. And as if that wasn't enough, you've got Matt Parkinson and Tom Hartley, two very different spin bowlers. Parky, the leg spinner, very aggressive, stump to stump. Hartley more of a pressure bowler, so he'll just tie up an end. But again, they're two really good prospects. And Parky, again, talking of points to prove, he wants that England spot, doesn't he, Harrison? Do you reckon he'll get it in this summer, or do you think it'll still be Leach? I'd love to know your thoughts on that.
I'm in the Leach camp at the moment because I think he's done a credible job when given the chance for England. But Matt Parkinson, equally, he's had a couple of fantastic county seasons now for Lancashire in Red Bull and in the other formats as well. Another one of that, and you probably are looking, he will be seriously banging that door down for selection. Whether he gets picked or not, it's a tough one to see for England this summer. Maybe in the Test against India or the three matches against South Africa, if the pitches dictate there's two spinners, or England, this, if England become a New England and they want to try him out, then we could see that as well, if, instead of Leach for a game. So, but if he doesn't, Lancashire will happily have him and he will do his stuff for them.
He most certainly will. Matt Parkinson, again, he's going to be an absolute handful for any opposition in the 2022 County Championship. In terms of weaknesses, again, I do have to nitpick on this one. And that's purely because I look at the seam depth. And obviously with the likes of Anderson and Mahmood, if those two get called up for England, and let's say in theory one of the seamers gets injured, let's say Tom Bailey gets injured, for example, hopefully he doesn't, of course, but let's say he does in this hypothetical scenario, they do have some inexperience in the seam departments. For example, Jack Blatherwick's got 6 first-class appearances, Liam Hurt has 3, George Balderson has 11. That's 20 first-class appearances between those three options as backups. So with no Richard Gleeson, who's now a white ball-only player, and with somewhat limited seam depth, now that the likes of Ed Moulton's gone as well, that could be a potential Achilles heel. But again, that really is scraping the bottom of the barrel. This Lancashire side are absolutely stacked to the rafters. It's a great side, really beautifully balanced. And the other thing as well, which I suppose you could almost liken to Hampshire, but you look at the types of bowlers. With Hartley, you've got a left arm finger spinner, Parkinson, right arm wrist spin, You've got the likes of Bailey, Mahmood, Anderson there, right arm, seam bowlers. You've even got Luke Wood with the left arm angle, and he can bat a bit. It's a really varied and balanced seam attack, complemented by those potential spin options as well. I think they are favourites. As you'll find out in part two, which was recorded before this episode, actually, I predicted Warwickshire to lift the title. I did. Obviously, I'm going to say that as a Warwickshire fan. But in terms of the odds on favourites, in terms of the side which most looks ready as of right now, yeah, I've got to say it's the Red Rose of Lancashire. Would you agree with that, Harrison, or do you reckon Hampshire? Who do you think's got a greater chance of winning?
Oh, it's definitely between the three we've mentioned, Warwickshire, Hampshire and Lancashire. As I've said before, they came so close last year. It's nothing in it, really, between the sides. We're nitpicking here to try and find the weakness in the side, which tends to say enough about the strength and potential success for any team. It could well be their year this year. But as you said before, if both Mahmood and Anderson go to England for any length of time when these Red Bull matches are on, that will hurt them, as it would any side if you take two quality bowlers out. So if that happens, you may be saying no. But even then, there's a definite chance. If I'm going to put a team on it, I'd still back Warwickshire to do it again from last season. Of course, it's more matches they got to do it this year, 14 over a 14-game season rather than six. Well, no, was it? It was 10 in the first system, then 4 in the second half as such. But they've not lost anyone of note and strengthened with Alex Davies from Lancashire as such. So they'd still be my choice, but Lancashire will be right behind them and could easily beat them.
They could indeed. To be honest, I look at Division 1 and Division 2 as well. Both divisions are going to be so competitive. And to be honest, who knows how this is going to pan out. We've mentioned three favourites there. We've mentioned the dark horses, the Gloucestershires, the Kents of this world. Somerset as well, always in the mix. Surrey, if they can retain that England talent, they'll be up there fighting for it. It's just got the makings of a great county championship in 2022. And to echo this sentiment, which we mention on every single episode of the podcast, if you are down in Southampton, you're in Birmingham, you're in Manchester, Yorkshire, wherever you are in the country, get down to these counties, watch the cricket, and I'll just say right now, you won't be disappointed, because I do think the quality is going to be absolutely exceptional in 2022. But Harrison, that basically brings us to stumps for part one of the 2022 LV County Championship preview show. Of course, listeners, you can find part two on our website if you want to find out the likes of Somerset, Surrey, Warwickshire, Yorkshire, Northants. But before we say our final goodbyes for this recording, Harrison, do you have anything to plug or promote? Any social media channels, websites, the Marillion podcast, anything like that?
So as mentioned back at the start, I have my own blog, In-Depth Football and Cricket, which I've been doing since about May 2020 now. So it's nearly 2 years. So that's the main one. But also I contribute to the Marillion pod, which is a big part. And that is it really for me. For In-Depth Football Cricket, you can find me at InDepthFNC on Twitter. And then Murley ends at Murley Pod on Twitter as well. So that's it, really. That is me in a nutshell.
Brilliant, Harrison. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll leave the links to those in the podcast description below on the website. So listeners, if you want to go and check out those two platforms, please feel free to go and do so at your own discretion. As I said, the links to those can be found in the podcast description. But that is basically it from us two here at the County Cricket Podcast for part one of the LV County Championship preview show for 2022. To all of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. As always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.